Two movies into, one movie leaves. We watched two Alone in the Darks. One from Yul Bowl back in 2005. And the second one from 1972, starring Donald Pleasence. All on today's There Can Be Only One Podcast.
I think it said 82.
Welcome to the There Can Be Only One podcast, where we watch two movies with the exact same title, or close enough to the exact same title, and make one of them change it. We go up to their face and make them change it, and that's what we're going to have to do with Yul Bowl today, because we're watching one of his films. My name is Robert Rao, and joining me are...
Herman Omega Brown Davis.
Eric McCauley.
And tonight, we got a nice one for you guys, like a nice spicy meatball, because it's, one of the things... Once you start doing this show, you start like honing in on finding movies with the exact same title, or at least ones that sound like should be generic enough to exist, because the internet will fail you when it comes to what they think is a popular two same movie title. Why not go after those exploitation films from like the 70s and 80s? And that is exactly what happened. There's a underground series on Turner Classic Movies that plays at Saturday at 2 in the morning. And a couple weeks ago, one of the offerings was for a film called Alone in the Dark, and my mind just went, bing, that sounds like something that exists, and it certainly did. Almost to the point where nobody cared about it, though, because it is a movie starring Christian Slater, Tara Reid, and directed by Yul Bowl, and it's based on a video game. So this is going to be fantastic. Am I right, guys?
Oh, man, no. I mean, I watched this movie before, but I forgot it. I actually forgot that I watched this movie.
Most movies based on video games are crap.
That's true. There hasn't been one that has has been like a big hit that's based on a video game. That's not a hit.
Super Mario Brothers.
We can look at the Rotten Tomatoes of Resident Evil. I do like that they're doing a farewell tour when it comes to Resident Evil. Like they had Mila Jovovich introducing a trailer. I went to go see Ouija recently. Mm-hmm. And they had her out there with the director saying, hey, this is our last Resident Evil. Thanks for joining us on this long, wild ride where we've spent the last 10 years making these films and nothing else. And I hope you come out for this one. And I remember seeing the first Resident Evil, being okay with it, and I don't think I've ever seen any of the other ones. Have you? What is your favorite video game movie? And it doesn't have to be like Resident Evil. What's your favorite Resident Evil film? What's your favorite video game movie?
Wow. The best one I could think on top of my head is actually Silent Hill. Was actually pretty nice.
That was okay.
Yes, yeah. Silent Hill was probably as close to the game as you could get.
Yeah, man, that's what I'm basing my assessment on.
It was passable.
Do you have faith in Assassin's Creed? The movie that's coming out in December. It's got Michael Fassbender.
No.
That guy touches a lot of, when he's involved in a project, it usually goes well.
The
like,
trailer of the video game was more exciting than the trailer of the movie. So I'm like, no.
Right.
I just can't see it. I'm going to watch it because that's just what I do. But no.
They need to take out, if you're going to make a movie based off of that, they need to take out the part in the video game that just doesn't make any sense and just have it stay in the past, and I don't think they're going to do that. So, no, I have no faith for it.
What's funny is, and this has always bothered me when it comes to these things, the part that everybody skips in the video game is what they're making the movie out of. You know, like, oh, the actual exposition. No, I just wanted to shoot shit. I'd have no idea why we're having to watch an hour and a half, and I can't skip any of it. So if they actually have a theater version where the audience gets to vote on if we get to skip this part, then I'd be okay with a video game movie.
It's just so funny because some of these video games, like two video games that come to mind that I think would have been excellent movies just based on if they just used the plot of the video game is Red Dead Redemption and the God of War series. Like, I could just sit back and watch all those cut scenes on YouTube, which somebody has done, and it's like a movie to me.
But when
they're going to adapt it to a movie, they would just forget all the stuff that made the game good and go with something that don't make no damn sense.
I don't even think I played Alone in the Dark.
Well, this is...
I played Alone in the Dark.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Was it good?
I ain't complaining. I felt asleep afterwards.
Well, okay. Tara Reid in this is a scientist, so you already know this film's a winner. And I don't remember what Christian Slater's title in this, but I'm guessing some sort of archaeologist, maybe? He can't be just like a single father kind of guy in this film, is he? In this?
I think he's a mysterious DJ.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and people send him, like, you know, fan mail to a P.O. box. Yeah.
You mean like what they do for David Duchovny on Silk Stockings on Showtime?
Yes.
Like he walks around with a dog and they just like, "Dear Christian Slater, I found out about like that you and I got to tell you this story that never ever happened to me."
Yeah, I think
mysterious DJ like can pump up the volume.
Yeah, that's the one he was going with.
He wasn't going to give me the easy label. Yeah. That's all. But you know, Todd, maybe they might have some sharks in it or something. I don't know.
Some sharks.
Yeah, in a tornado.
Oh, I just thought you were talking about like West Side Story because that would have been sweet. I would have totally taken some sharks. According to IMDb, based on the video game, like they immediately say, hey, I know you're going to read this plot and not know what the hell we're talking about. So, full disclosure, it's based on a video game. Alone in the Dark focuses in on Edward Carnby, a detective of the paranormal, who slowly unravels mysterious events with deadly results. Ooh, does this mean this guy's going to be a murder machine? We'll find out.
So it sounds like a knockoff version of John Constantine, huh?
Yeah, I can see that. Sure.
Okay.
All right, so we've talked enough about a film we have no idea we're going to watch. Let's go watch it and then come back here and talk about it, huh? What do you say, guys?
Let's try it.
All right, let's go. All right.
In 1967, mine workers discovered the first remnants of a long-lost Native American civilization, the Apkani. The Apkani believed there are two worlds on this planet, a world of light and a world of darkness. 10,000 years ago, the Apkani opened a gate between these worlds. Before they could close it, something evil slipped through. The Apkani mysteriously vanished from the Earth. Only a few artifacts remain, hidden in the world's most remote places. These artifacts speak of terrifying creatures that thrive in the darkness, waiting for the day when the gate can be opened again. Bureau 713, the government's paranormal research agency, was established to uncover the dark secrets of this lost civilization. Under the direction of archaeologist Lionel Hudgens, Bureau 713 began collecting Apkani artifacts.
Hey guys, we just finished watching Alone in the Dark, starring Christian Slater, Tara Reid,
Steven Dorff,
and the biggest star of them all, Uwe Boll. We didn't look it up, but the man has made what seems like about 10 movies. Would you say that's about right?
No, I'd say about 20.
I'm going to go with 30.
Maybe. Listed as a director credit on... Now, he's produced 53 films.
Mm, okay.
But as a director, he is credited with 33 movies.
Closest I win.
You win all the Uwe Boll movies. Go watch them now.
I win the entire Uwe Boll catalog.
The first film he got credited with was German Fried Movie. And then it just goes from there.
You got to start off somewhere.
What was the first video game movie he directed?
Was House of the Dead a video game?
Yes, it was.
Okay, then that was the first one, I think. Yeah. Then he did Alone in the Dark, then he did Blood Rain, and then he did In the Name of the King. Was Seed 1?
I don't know.
Postal?
Don't know. No.
Far Cry?
Yes.
He did Rampage. We talked about that.
Uh-huh.
While a video game, not a video game movie per se on this, I guess, whatever release. That looks like about it, other than the other In the Name of the King, The Last Job.
Also starring Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take any more jobs than this. This is it. I got one last job.
So, all in all, this movie deserved to be called the worst movie of 2005.
No, one of the worst. I don't think they said it was the worst. It cost $20 million, and they don't know where that money went.
They gave him $10 million extra. After the studio saw the rough cut.
Right.
They gave him $10 million more dollars to put into the movie.
They gave him a tip.
Yeah, they say he put it all in CGI.
That makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Special effects and stuff.
That was some great CGI. All
right. For those of you who have who don't own like the last three copies of this movie floating around in various basements somewhere, Christian Slater stars as a...
paranormal investigator.
Yeah, paranormal... Sure. A rogue paranormal investigator. He used to be a part of the Bureau 713, which... is the area code that no one has? Is that what?
Go with you. Like, it's just the knockoff of the X-Files.
Sure, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
he is also the product of an orphanage that was going around putting things in people's backs and turning them into creatures. But he didn't have that happen to him because he was electrocuted. Hey-o. Yay! No, I mean that's just what he said he was. He was like,
no, he had the creature in him, but the creature didn't. it was still in the symbiote.
He ate a Snickers bar, yeah. And it cooled him down.
Yeah, there you go.
That's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Flash forward to present day life after they show all the orphan kids with the creatures in the back. Various artifacts are found. Various artifacts are turned on as like a homing signal to summon the orphans together to form. The Mighty Orphan Power Rangers, I'm guessing. That's the.
I was going to say Voltron, but yeah, I go with
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I like Mighty Orphan Power Rangers.
Yeah. Is that the name of this movie now?
Yeah. I go with that, Mighty Orphan Power Rangers.
Yeah.
So, what, you saying that this movie is going to change its title?
Yeah, well, we can speculate in between the two.
Were they ever alone in the dark in this movie?
Yes,
no,
one person was.
We were alone in the dark. we had nobody with us to hold our hand for this thing. That's the collective audience that was perplexed why this even existed. So Christian Slater's part one of this. Part two is Tara Reid, mm-hmm. who is your atypical scientist, just tapping along on a computer, just solving riddles and stuff, you know?
Well, what's funny to me was because I paid attention to what she was saying because she was trying her damnest to be like, oh, look, I'm a professor, I'm a scientist, I could do this. And in her speech, she never used more than a three-syllable word. Like, she wasn't using no big words.
I think she was just trying her damnest to get paid.
Well, yeah, that's also a thing.
Yeah.
You have so many film credits, you just figure, you know, eventually you're going to hit that wall.
Cocaine's not cheap.
Well, yeah, no shit. What up, America? Why is not cocaine cheap, huh?
Because it's grown in Colombia, man.
I go to Walmart every day and buy some of the cheapest things out there, and cocaine, which grows on plants.
Because it's not America, man. We don't grow that down here. We grow tobacco. That's what we grow.
Okay.
Isn't that what...
on tobacco.
That's what Tara Reid does, right? Cocaine?
Yeah. Well, was this on... Was, she did this movie when she was on her... What that was? Wild On, when she was on E! Like, she just basically, they paid her just to
what
travel around the beaches and drink and party all the time.
Tara Reid, dude.
Man, you don't crash your computer typing that in.
Let's see. 10 hot celebrities before and after drugs is the first thing that comes up.
Oh, boy. Yeah, she did look bad for a while there. I think Sean
according to my thing, it says it's okay to look at it, so let's see what it says. like the... All right, so they showed Amanda Bynes. They don't say what she was on, but I remember her like going Postal? Nuts on whatever stuff. Natasha Lyonne, sure. Pamela Anderson.
I don't know who that is.
She's on Orange Is the New Black. She's the was also in American Pie.
Okay, I know who you're talking about now.
Robin Kelly. Oh shit, I remember her. Amy Winehouse. Yes, of course. Tara Reid. Here we go. Is a famous actress who is well known for roles and looks in. Alone in the Dark? No. American Pie. Damn.
Of course.
Tara Reid is known for partying hard and taking drinks heavily at such parties. In 2008, which is around the time this movie came out, the actress had been into a rehab center to recover from her alcohol addiction. Alcohol. Okay. The exact reason why she checked into the rehab was not revealed. It is evident from many resources that she is an avid drinker of alcohol at parties. Sometime in 2013, she was behaving weird and was heavily seen drinking. Like people were like,
seen.
Oh yeah, we're looking at her heavily seen.
Seen heavily drinking?
It was heavily seen drinking. This is what I'm reading. At one quote. Such party, yeah, that, exactly. The side effects of such heavy drinking have led to the downfall of her once beautiful face. The drinking caused her face to look like that?
Man, what they've been watching, she really wasn't beautiful that much.
Today, she was cute.
Okay,
she's not there. She's not like drop dead gorgeous, but she out of the American Pie actresses, would you rank her? Who do you rank ahead of her?
Bandcamp.
Bandcamp.
Really?
Yeah, Bandcamp.
Because she's held up? Is that why?
No, I mean, no.
Like, she still looks great.
No,
I'm not...
she had me when she said one time at Bandcamp. I was like, really? You know, she had me at that point.
That's your the word that gets you out of your sleeper cell. Yeah. I know that works every time. Like, that's your Jason Bourne, like, activate Herman, and he goes off.
I put Stifler ahead of her and Chris Klein.
All right, so you had Mia Cervani, Natasha Lyonne, Tara Reid. There's the Russian chick, Shannon Elizabeth. That's her, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the girl you keep mentioning, Bandcamp, and I'm blanking on her name. Allison Hannigan? That's it, okay.
Yeah. What about
Stifler's mom.
Karen Black, yeah. Stifler's mom.
That wasn't Karen Black.
It wasn't?
No.
That was Jennifer. Jennifer?
No, she was an improv actress. I'm looking it up now.
She was in Legally Blind, and now she's in Two Broke Girls.
She looks like Karen Black.
Yeah.
Sure, okay.
I thought that
was We're replacing it in Eric's little screen, like in his head, with Karen Black instead. Yeah. I understand. From Airport 77. That is exactly who it is. I'm finding it now. And as soon as my computer decides to tell me, it is Jennifer Coolidge was her name. Jennifer Coolidge.
Basically, every woman in American Pie except for the girl who was her best friend in American Pie. That's the only one she was hotter than.
Natasha Lyonne, right? Yeah. That's the one? Yeah, that was the best friend? No? Yeah. You have blank? Yes, indifferent? I don't know.
No.
Okay. All right. So Shannon Elizabeth, hotter?
Yes.
Yes.
Mia Cervani, hotter?
Yes.
I can't put a face to her.
American Beauty. She was the cheerleader.
Still can't put a face to her.
She's been in a couple American films.
She was the one that tempted, what's his name?
Kevin Spacey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still can't put a face to her.
Okay. American
just
Hustle.
Keep going down the list.
There it goes. Suvani. You would know her from American Beauty. That she's actually, she don't look too bad, like in that picture.
Just say yes. Just say yes.
This
yes.
is what you would know her from. American Beauty, American Pie, American Pie 2, and American Reunion.
Yes.
So.
She was also in a TV series called South of Hell.
Okay, well, let's go next name. I already said yes.
All right, fine.
No, you got to say yeah.
Allison Hannigan?
Yeah.
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 Stifler's mom?
Yeah.
Yes.
So only Natasha Lyonne beats it. All right, is she the hottest pussycat out of the Josie and the Pussycats?
She was in Josie and the Pussycat?
Yeah, she was the blonde.
Who was Josie?
That girl that was in She's All That. I can't think of her name right now. You know her.
Well, I think the hottest one on Josie.
Rosario Dawson? That's the third.
That's what I was going to say was the hottest
one. Figure like a Lucy Liu type, and in this case it was Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, definitely Rosario Dawson. Yeah.
All right. It does help that she really looks about the same as she did when she was, like, the first time you saw her.
Who, Rosario Dawson?
Yeah, in Kids. Yeah, exactly. The 14-year-old in there. Yes, that's what I'm comparing
Rosario
her
Dawson
to.
Was in Kids?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, that's God. How she got discovered.
Wow, that was a hard movie right there.
Yep, afraid so.
Saw Kids, by the way.
He just doesn't see kids. Eric has that vision, like, it isn't until they turn 15 that it actually, like, it becomes visible. He, like, runs into children all the time, and parents try to stop him. And they're like, oh, get away from me, why are these people so angry at me?
It's true. I can't see kids.
I see day people.
And you that bothered you because there was some noise just saying I see dead people. Like, who said that? Oh, my God.
Wait, didn't we have this conversation on the podcast before?
I don't know, did we? Sure, why not?
Okay. Yeah, so audience, if y'all listen to me, y'all got to go back to every podcast and listen and see if we had this conversation.
And let us know.
Yeah, let us know through the Ethernet. Just dial up a connection and contact us directly at the There Can Only Be One podcast from gmail.com to emails.org. Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones you need to contact.
All right. So we're getting off track.
What?
What?
I need to erase all this now.
But Jeez. By saying that, I'm going to say that we definitely got off track with that movie because it was nothing. It was
Yeah. I think we could inconsistent.
The Yule Bowl, life itself is just more interesting than the movies he makes, and how he gets so insulted by people. Who call him like a bad movie maker? That he It's like, well, I suck at movies, but I'm really good at boxing. At least I'm better at boxing than anybody that makes movies. And that is a very niche market to have, but man, he could probably knock someone out. So that's what he does to people. He challenges, like, critics? Just mainly critics, right?
I think so.
Some boxing matches now.
Well, and that's
or anybody who says his movies are shit. So,
yes.
Hey, Uwe, if you're listening, bud. See, challenge accepted.
Ooh.
See, I will hire
I'll create a ring in the back. We'll make BB the ring girl in between. I'll strap like a 1-2 on the back. You know, that'll work. And we'll play all the drowning pool you want in between each.
See, you say that, but I will hire Mike Tyson to go under the pen name Stephen Dorff.
Tyke Meissen.
Yeah.
And be one will know who I am.
And be like, man, y'all know me, son. Oh, I challenge you to a fight. Okay.
Why isn't there a mice named Tyke Meissen? Why is there not?
The entire movie, none of us are paying attention.
It had a very needless, and this is probably what I'm using since there really isn't a trailer for this. We're going to use that entire exposition that was the first 5 minutes of what we watched and trying to explain what this movie's about.
Actually be really good.
That's the whole plot.
Right. Yeah. Eventually, all what happens is you have the Bureau fighting all these now deranged people that have turned into monsters that just sit there and pose with their monster mouths like agape, waiting for more juicy federal meat to go into their mouths.
Like I said, it just seemed like they were trying to make Alien, Tremor. No, it's not Tremor.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
It's like a mix between Aliens, Tremors. What else did I say? I don't remember. See, I don't even remember.
Scooby-Doo, of course.
Well, yeah.
They're always solving mysteries of government conspiracies. That's just what they do.
Yeah.
All right, so we watched one. Now we're moving on to the second one.
Yay.
Mind you, this is heavily fought for by Eric McCauley on this, we did introduce him to this concept of these two movies. So it isn't like he came to the plate knowing that there was this Alone in the Dark film that needed to be watched. I just told him that Donald Pleasance was in one of them. And this will be the second time we've seen a film with Donald Pleasance in it. Guess what the first one was?
Yeah, the one I fell asleep on.
The Guest.
Yeah.
a really bad 60s film. Well, it's not bad. It's just slow. Bad is not a word for it because It featured a lot of people that everybody's maybe not too familiar with because it didn't hold up very well. But this next film we're watching has Martin Landau, Donald Pleasance, and Jack Palance in it. And it is about a quartet of murderous psychopaths break out of a mental hospital during a power blackout and lay siege to the doctor's house.
I don't even think you need to tell people what it was about. You just named those four names. We're good to go.
Ooh, there's a fourth name?
Oh, well, three names, four names, whatever.
Is Dwight Schultz the fourth name? Ooh.
Yes.
It's possible. There was somebody else that looked very familiar whenever we saw the brief trailer, and I cannot place until we watch it. Until we actually watch the movie, I'm not going to be able to place it. So, let's just go ahead with that one, since I think we're all in agreement that this film has lost its naming rights. Now it's up to the second film to see if it even keeps its title as well, because we don't care. So, out Alone in the Dark, in with Mighty Orphan Power Rangers, and we will be right back with part three.
After these short messages.
Yeah, these short messages from our people that hate this thing. That's what I'm cutting it in. Everybody that hates this thing. See you back soon.
Anything can happen when you're alone in the dark.
Are you afraid of the dark?
Sometimes. Sort of fun.
As a little kid, I was scared to death to be alone in the dark.
Hey, we're back. Back, guys. Back. We just finished watching Alone in the Dark.
From 1982.
Yes, we have to clarify for those people that might not know that there was a second one that was created with Donald Pleasance, Jack Palance, Martin Landau, And that fourth guy that Eric loves, because we need four. There's always four.
Murdoch.
Murdoch from A-Team. Not the new one. Not the guy that was in District 9. This is the guy on the TV show. How did everybody like that movie?
It was better than the first one.
Basically, if you're
good enough to keep
movie,
the title?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
We've lost titles on both of these? Okay.
Yeah.
This has the simplest of plots. It's very, very straightforward. You got this dude moving into town. He's the hot new doctor that everybody's fawning over. That's like, ooh, there's a new doctor in town. And then there's like a whole bit, you know, it's like the Beatles whenever they get off the plane. You know, like there was all screaming going, yeah! And then he goes into town, he goes to the mental hospital, and then the four guys are like, you know what? He must have killed the old doctor. as what happens when everybody gets a job. Is that what it do you assume that whenever you see somebody new at your job? They must have killed the older person.
Yeah. Makes getting new jobs more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, basically, I assume that all the time.
That's all college is, 4 years of prep work on how to kill the guy that was already in your position. So
I think they just take their life force.
What do you think would be the easiest job to get that way?
Supermodel.
Supermodel! Now, do you feel you'll be able to keep the title of supermodel? Like, if you killed, say, a Gisele Bündchen, who is considered a supermodel, and you're up there with the Victoria's Secret dancing around, and the sick fucks are playing in the background, they're playing Chopping Up Your Mom, which is what they do, and all of a sudden someone comes by and says, I challenge you to be the next supermodel, and you'd say...
For reference, the sick fucks is a band in that. In that movie that we just watched.
Right, right. I think everybody knows that, okay?
Nobody's elite like we are.
Yeah, at one point they go to a punk rock concert and the Sick Fucks are playing. And their hit song, Chopping Up Your Mom, is playing. And there must have been like 10 people in the band. And they weren't a ska band at all. That's weird.
Yep.
They had like 10. They had like 7 people who were the running in place guys. That's basically what they... that's how they mixed it up. So there's a big power outage that happens in the movie, and everything in this small town goes crazy. They just go nuts on like the local Ross or Lowe's or something. You know, they hit up places like their Gremlins, and it is the night before Christmas. They're just taking all the weapons that they can find, and the only protection that we had from the mental hospital people was electricity. Now that electricity's gone, it's open season on all doctors that killed their previous doctors. And so Jack Palance, Martin Landau, and two other people, one a really big dude, and another one, you never see his face. Ooh, who could it be? Go to a local hardware store and stock up on weapons, specifically weapons to kill doctors and their family. And then they go around doing such a thing. For being top bill, Jack Palance really didn't do much, did he?
No.
No. This was more Martin Landau's movie out of anyone.
Yeah.
That dude was chopping people left and right. I think his kill count was higher than everybody else's.
And, I think, down to Pleasance.
He didn't kill that many people, did he?
Well, Murdoch. Murdoch had the biggest role.
Yeah, but he was the full bill, wasn't he? Like,
No, Jack Palance was the top one, then Donald Pleasance.
No, but Dwight Schultz was like on the screen majority of the time, but he wasn't the star of this movie. He should have been.
The stars were the sick fucks in their one scene where they were like, it's like you would see Guar watch that concert and said, you know what, we could probably do better.
Yeah. No, to answer your question from before.
Oh, okay. Killing?
Yeah.
Ideal. Now, there's jobs that you would like, but then you'd have to kill the person that made you like that job.
What
if you killed Anthony Rizzo and became the first baseman for the Chicago Cubs?
Well, he had it coming.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I see that Chicago reference. That's fine.
Here's the thing. You have to find a position that you feel might not be in high competition, where you feel safe once you kill the person that's currently there. Yet you have job security now, because you now have that job. Do you think you could kill, like, a video store clerk?
Well, in retrospect, you know, I mean, wouldn't somebody come after you as well? And you would also, I mean, you just have to take the murder blow because you gave the murder blow to somebody else that took their job.
How about serial killer?
You want to become a serial killer by killing a serial killer?
Do they pay taxes?
No.
You're going to become Dexter? Is that what you're trying to do?
Fill out a W-2 to become maybe, a serial killer.
Yeah, I mean.
All right, well, I get to deduct all these bodies that I killed. I do donate every victim's clothes I do to the St. John Vianney store. So.
You can donate organs, too, I suppose.
That's true. Hey, St. John Vianney, well, I'm just going to give these livers to you if that's okay.
All right, fine. This is getting morbid.
Oh, I'm sorry. We just watched a horror movie.
That was a horror movie?
Yeah, it was supposed to be.
Oh, shit. Goddamn.
Thriller? Comedy? I don't know. Drama? What label does this fall under?
Black comedy.
Black comedy.
Yeah. A dark comedy.
Yes, because it was very dark the whole time. Like, the lights were out, and you couldn't see a damn thing that was happening.
I feel it doesn't get the title because nobody was actually alone in the dark in that movie.
Yeah. It did. Now, here's the weird thing, and I'm not saying this is good or bad. It's just odd that there was some serious focus on a character that was added about 15 minutes in. Like, the family comes in, and then the guy's sister shows up to this small town from the big city, who is really into reggae music at some point. But there's a underlying plot with her being afraid of things in the dark, because they reference that stupid little teenage book series that whole time. Like, are you afraid of the dark? Well, I am afraid of the dark. You know, that they do that stuff. They don't do Alone in the Dark. Like, she gets jump scares from her own mind throughout this thing. And and surprisingly, they needed her because she goes to a nuclear power plant, anti-nuclear power plant rally. Excuse me. She was not for it. That would be a weird rally. She's just going to coal plants and saying, hey, you guys need to upgrade. This is completely outdated. Runs into some hot dude, as you do with these things, and says, hey, how about you live with me for the rest of your life? And he's like, of course.
That sounds like a good idea. I really like your side ponytail.
Yeah. Yeah, bad. No shit. Yeah.
Nothing bad ever happened from that. You meet somebody for the first time and you fall madly in love. I mean, that sounds like a good sitcom, doesn't it?
Of course. It's every sitcom that I've ever watched.
So, this movie...
Perfect Strangers?
Yeah, they fell in love.
Okay.
Yeah, they was cousins, but they fell in love.
They were perfect for each other because they were strangers. But they were strangers every morning because they kept forgetting they were related. They had to, like, go through that whole 51st dates right at the beginning. It's like, who are you again? I'm Malky. I talk funny. Don't be ridiculous.
What was he from?
He was from Me Post.
Yeah.
I had to question myself as I was saying it. Why do I know this?
So you always say Meatballs.
Oh, why do I have a hard time remembering, like, my sister's middle name, but I can remember Me Post? Okay, fine. Then I know
what's your sister's middle name?
Me Post? Is that what it is?
Look at
that. Is it Sick Fox? Is that a real name? Cindy Sick Fox Rieger. That's her name. So look her up. All right. So what happens is day one they collect all their supplies. Day two they start terrorizing the house by killing the babysitter and her boyfriend. It's the only time you got to see some TNA and Eric gave us a hopeful glimpse into what we thought was a Brady from the Brady Bunch.
Yes.
But oh well, these were just normal boobs. They weren't special TV boobs.
Wasn't Cindy, Jane, Marsha.
Not even the dog. Jeez, what's wrong?
Or Alice the maid.
Yeah, yeah, no shit. She could totally, like, been that role. Why wouldn't she?
There were a lot of familiar faces in this movie, though.
Yeah, there were. The secretary at the mental hospital ended up being, like, she's an actress that was in Insidious, and I think also The Conjuring. Wasn't she in that thing, too?
Yeah.
But also the Farrelly Brothers movies. You've probably seen her in a lot of those things. She's got that face where you're like, her. I know who you're talking about.
She's also the mom in Detroit Rock City.
She's the mom in Detroit Rock City. The number one movie, non-clown division from Detroit. So, yeah, sorry, because we all know all the number one films are Juggalo films in Detroit. So
that really didn't happen for Halloween. I know I don't want to get off subject, but everybody was running about the clown shit.
Why are you? You're getting you. Nobody gets off subject on this podcast. Saying, what are you trying to get off subject on this?
You're missing Juggalos. So I'm like, I just was thinking, like, I thought that was gonna be a big thing for Halloween, but yeah, nothing happened. So you know.
Spooky clowns handing out Faygo, giving people hatchet tattoos.
Yelling family and whoop whoop.
Yeah, that's exactly. We would have had a gathering here.
And we would have played magic.
Oh, I went to the 13th gate for the first time in, say, about like 10 years, I think. It's been a while.
How many Juggalos were there?
There was a clown section to it. This was new. Because there wasn't one before, and it could have been one of those things that got added because of what was happening.
Were you scared?
It's not that I was scared. I had someone in front of me, and I had a whole group of women behind me that refused to stay in one spot for longer than a second, and were pushing me into like the. It was a dude I knew. It was Mike Honore. Okay. So I am now pushing Mike. As I'm walking along and telling him, dude, I'm sorry, there's like five women who are the whole time going, I'm not scared. Yeah. I'm not scared. Yeah. That doesn't scare me, as they're pushing me the whole time.
They had to be pushing you real hard because you was pushing Mike on already.
Yeah.
But I just can't see. I can't picture you actually being scared. I could just see you pitching, walking around.
No, the things that terrify me are the ones that don't jump. Like, there was like this girl just dressed up in a bridesmaid's costume or something like that, just around the corner, just sitting there. Mm-hmm. And it was when you catch it in your peripheral, you're like, because it wasn't jumping at you like everything else.
Wasn't in the house. She's just sitting around your house.
Yeah, that's exactly true.
Sitting right there for you, waiting for you.
Taking a smoke break.
It's a cat. Mm-hmm. It's a cat dressed up in a bridesmaid's outfit. she somehow puts up with it. She's like, why don't you ask the question? I'm like, jeez, BB, whatever. All right, so eventually they gather all the supplies, and they start surrounding the house, I guess the perimeter, and they think they're okay. So they're like, not only are we okay, we're going to entertain people tonight. So bring over this hunky dude and let's say one law enforcement guy so he could die first. And that's exactly what he did. Donald Pleasance tries to he comes in late. He's like, sorry, bros, I showed up late. And Martin Landau cuts off his ear, and that's all we see. We didn't see him actually die, did we?
No, but he does die because
the car's not there. Sure.
Yeah, they threw him in the house.
No, I thought they threw the cop in the house.
The cop in the house.
Oh yeah.
Don Pleasance's got man, he's not easy maybe to throw.
Maybe he's around for the sequel.
I bet he's like hard to handle. It's like one of those things that you buy whenever you go to like a Celebration station. And they just slip out of your hands. They call that the Donald Pleasance doll. You don't know that? It's just like slippery, sloppity, slip. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's like a weird little jelly thing that kind of like it ropes inside itself, and every time you grab on the side,
those are dildos.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I call my dildo Donald Pleasance because it is Pleasance. Donald Pleasant. That's exactly what I do. So, eventually you find out that the hunky dude was the fourth mad guy. Woo. They must have mentioned that he got nosebleeds. I didn't catch that part at all.
Nobody did.
Because that was the big giveaway. That was weird. So, eventually they all die except for Jack Palance, who goes to a concert and holds a gun to a woman's neck. The end. They ended it on that.
Yeah.
And I couldn't hear what she was saying the whole time. I'm guessing she was the other mental patient that was talking to Don Pleasance earlier.
Yeah, she was at the funeral, and I think she was
the porcelain chick.
Yeah, the porcelain chick.
She was admitted there one time probably and got out. And you know, she's supposed to be functional, but
she was.
If you say so.
She's just as functional as everybody else in that movie. It had its fun moments. I wouldn't say it's like a great horror film, but it's definitely like one of those campy 80s ones that's worth watching. But I think there are better, campier ones. Like, there was one I saw where, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, that had a great music video throughout the whole movie.
The one on the train?
Yeah, the one on the train. Yeah, the one the train of horror or something like that, where you had God and the devil competing over souls, and each one of them was a separate movie that was only about 20 minutes long, that had nothing in contact with the other ones. It was just like all these short films. But you had a band on on the train. I'm going to have to show you this clip afterwards because it's fantastic.
Yeah.
yeah. See? Herman's seal of approval. Yeah. I sense no sarcasm in what he's saying. It's fantastic. Well, 80s fantastic. Yeah. I love seeing the corniest of balls when it comes to 80s films. And those usually come out in full force. I do like Martin Landau's commitment to being nuts in this because he plays a preacher that burns things and then eventually uses a knife as his main weapon. Mm-hmm. And he not only is like mad face the whole time, he took like a teenage boy and dragged him underneath a bed. Like in one swing, got him underneath there. That's impressive.
Yeah.
isn't that poetic that a preacher is going after a teenage boy? Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand. What do you mean? What are you talking about?
But my only trivia, because I like to put a little trivia out there, the only trivia I could find on this movie basically is.
There's plenty.
Yeah.
What do you mean the only trivia?
Well, two trivia. This movie was when the girl asks him where he's from, he says Springwood.
Right.
Which is the same place that Nightmare on Elm Street is set.
Oh.
Which also this makes sense because this movie was first distributed. It's the first film distributed by New Line Cinema, which distributed Nightmare on Elm Street series.
Oh, okay. So,
and as you can
see, they didn't have New Line Cinema at the front. That's true.
Yeah, as you can see, you could.
And that wasn't a. There wasn't. I actually there's a 6-hour documentary on the Nightmare on Elm Street series. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It's on Netflix. And it goes over all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
No, I didn't know it was on Netflix. I got to check that out.
I don't know if it's 6. It might be only like 4. But it's long. It is a long-ass film. But they talk about New Line and how they were small potatoes until the Nightmare on Elm Street
hit. Yeah, Nightmare. Actually, I was looking at the highest grossing films and stuff.
Right.
Nightmare on Elm Street still ranks, like, New Line Cinema is defunct now. But they still ranks, like, one of the best.
Thanks, Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Lord of the Rings is 1, 2, and 3.
So. Yeah.
What's funny is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which came out in the 90s, is like number 10.
Yeah. On I went and saw it in theaters. Yeah. There's nothing funny about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did see the documentary about Canon Films, so that was interesting.
Right. That's almost like watching New Line. It's so close.
No, it's better. If you like Chuck Norris movies.
Yeah.
And bad Stallone movies, it's better.
It's only done over the top for him. What other one did he do?
Cobra.
He did Cobra with him as well?
Yeah.
Oh. That's kind of a bankrupt. He got paid so much money off of that movie.
All right, so I want to call this film now Sick Fucks. What do you guys want to call it? I think we're alone now. That was the other title.
We're alone now.
What was they kept on saying? They said it like a couple of times.
Voyagers.
Yeah, Voyagers.
Oh, yeah. We're calling this film Star Trek Voyagers is what we're calling it.
Wait, that movie never was getting made.
No, I think We're Alone Now is a better title.
How come they never made a Voyager movie?
Why?
Yeah.
Because you ever watched the
show? Did you see how successful the Next Generation films were? They're just going to go on with the other ones?
Okay.
Yeah, may as well, right?
Let's ride this money train. Let's keep going.
Star Trek Woo! Expert, let me explain to you what Star Trek Voyager was about. Janeway and her crew basically got transported way out there in the Delta Quadrant.
I've watched it, and I liked it.
I know, I'm just, you know. And they finally made it back to the Gamma Quadrant, you know what I mean.
No, I don't. Explain it in detail. You got 25 minutes.
All right.
Quadrant.
I gained some of my cue words tonight. And then made it back home. Hence, that's the end of Voyager. That's it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been a long time.
Wrong.
That's saying. Wrong. That's Enterprise. That's Enterprise.
I am fully aware which one it is. Yeah.
Wait! They would make Deep Space Nine movies before they would make.
Oh Jesus!
Well, how are they gonna make that? Cisco is part of the what's that group is the Prophets now?
Oh, I don't know. I hated Deep Space Nine.
What?
Yeah.
I kind of liked it.
For you guys to even give any cred to anything other than the Next Generation is sad.
What?
Sad.
What?
That's the only one that matters. And they made horrible movies.
Whoa, like every Original Star Trek was awesome.
No, it wasn't.
They just pit at you.
What? The TV show was not awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Not as awesome as Next Generation. Sorry.
No, TNG definitely the best one, but yeah.
Yeah, then
TNG. Then Voyager, then DS9,
and then Alone in the Dark.
No, then Star, then Enterprise, Star Trek Enterprise. Then the original series.
Whoa, the original series last on the list.
Yeah. I mean, Captain Archer got like three planets named after him.
All right, so I think we've talked enough about this. First movie, Alone in the Dark, you're not called that anymore. You're called the Mighty Orphan Power Rangers. Second, Alone in the Dark, you're not called that anymore. You're called I Think We're Alone Now, which also eliminates that stupid documentary called I Think We're Alone Now. You're called Creepshow I'll Never Watch Again.
I think that's the best alternative name we came up with. I think that's better than Friend Trip?
Friend Trip. Yeah.
I think
Mighty Orphan Power Rangers is the best one so far.
All right, fair enough. Anybody want to say anything else before we sign off?
Don't watch either of these movies.
Watch Star Trek. Follow the There Can Only Be One podcast. My name is Robert Rao.
Herman Omega Prime Davis.
And Eric McCauley.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, basically, like...
Testing. This is me talking over here.
This is me talking over here.
I'm talking over here.
Talking over here. Talk.
And over here.
Hey, where are you talking? I'm talking over here. Are you talking over there?
I'm talking over here.
Oh, talking over here.
So it's like in New Orleans growing up, we used to say those on Canal Street, they used to have these camera stores and luggage stores. You know, that tourists forgot to bring their cameras and luggage. And they used to sit there all day, and the prices was extremely high. And we'd be like, how in the hell are they making money? And then someone told me, oh, they're just funneling money, you know?
It might be like a laundering.
Yeah.
Arby's was, because nobody ate it at Arby's. There was always two cars, and they were both for the employees that were working there on that shift. Like, it's one of those things like, yeah, I haven't had Curly Q fries in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go over there. And then you go there and you're like, oh, that was a bad idea.
Their commercial looks so appetizing, though. You'd be like, oh, I really want that right now. And you get there, you'd be like,
yeah. They have upped the commercials like tenfold ever since every single Arby's in Baton Rouge has closed down.
Ain't dead by them.
Yeah, that just is what happens, man. I don't know.
Same thing with rallies went out of town. I want a rally so bad now. Now they're coming back, and now I don't really care for rallies now.
I worked at a KFC that should have been closed the entire time I worked there. Like, the evening gross, or the amount of money they made in the evening was $500. Not made, like, profit. That is how much, like, people gave them in money. So we threw away so much chicken afterwards. It no reason why it should have existed.
What year did you work at KFC?
I worked from... let's say about 94 to 99.
Okay, I worked at McDonald's in 97, and they were so, like they still are, they're so integrated about all the details. They had a system for the managers to figure out, basically based on how much money they took in the last hour and the employee salary, if they were losing money for each hour. So the manager would be looking at it constantly and be like, oh, okay, I need three of y'all to go home right now.
Yep. Domino's had that too. They, like, you just punch it in on the computer, and it's some. I'm serious.
I'm hearing about like people caring while they work there.
Yeah,
because our managers were like, eh.
Oh well, McDonald's all about their bottom line. They were like, they didn't care about us. They only care about their bonus. Like, yeah, that's all.
So,
all right, so we got enough chatter. Let's do this shit.
That was the quickest chatter ever.
Sorry.